John Batchelor with Jim Fennell and Brad Thayer. Their new book is Embracing Communist China, America's Greatest Strategic Failure. While the PLA Navy is demonstrating its threat against the ally, Taiwan, and the whole of Western Pacific threatened by the PLA Navy, including our allies in Japan, the Philippines, and Australia, we look to 1919, as Jim and Brad have identified, as a moment when the British Empire lost the Second World War. Why? Because Germany was in ruins, nothing to worry about. In fact, let us help them as best we can with our diplomats, but not too much. Let them sort it out. Let them use the Weimar and the Parliament and their own disorder with communism. And we can take confidence of the 10-year rule. Jim, what was the 10-year rule that the British Empire employed in 1919 that led to the defeat of 1940?
I'm going to let Brad answer that one.
Well, I'm happy to. Jim, the 10-year rule was put in place by defense planners in the United Kingdom. And the idea was that for the next 10 years, there would not be a major conflict that would involve the UK. So as a consequence, you didn't have to spend money, right? That money would not be spent by the Exchequer on defense, but would be spent on other priorities. Now, that was overturned in the early 30s when the British recognized that the world had changed, the distribution of power had changed significantly. But that lost decade, more than a decade, had a profound effect, really, in hindering what was often called the fourth arm of defense. It's not just the Navy, the Army, and the Air Force, but it's also the economy and your defense industrial base. And so by having that 10-year rule, they really hurt their defense industrial base as well, John. And the fruits of that were seen in the lack of preparedness in 1939 and 1940.
I go then to Tiananmen Square, which everyone remembers as a brutal demonstration of the Chinese Communist Party. And I want to be very specific, Jim, coming to you about the Navy after Tiananmen Square. Was the understanding that the PLA Navy is not a threat, that the PLA Air Force is crude and bumbling and that they don't have any technology to match ours, and therefore, even though the Soviet Union has fallen apart, we are supreme in the world and have nothing to threaten us? Did we believe that after Tiananmen?
Most definitely true. The United States Navy and the Pacific Command at that time and the Pacific Fleet did not see any threat from the PRC in any way, shape, or form. I was on watch floors in that time period from 89 to 91 at the U.S. Joint Intelligence Center Pacific. I actually was on a watch floor that was watching China, and we had nothing really to do. That was your kind of entry-level job onto the watch, because you really wanted to get watching was the Soviet and then the Russian ballistic missile fleet. That still dominated our mindset and our thinking, even after the wall came down and even after Tiananmen. It was still the Russian-Soviet threat and their capabilities that still dominated our thinking for most of the decade of the 1990s. It was only towards the end that started to really wane. But China never really came to the fore until essentially 2015 or 14, that time frame, until Trump came to office. Before that, there was just a general feeling that there was not really a real threat there, even though we had started to see the indicators of the buildup in 99-2000 when the Chinese Navy first started building up some of their amphibious fleet and things of that nature and submarine force, the initial build out.
And Brad, here's that ambivalence you've identified already in current Washington thinking. After Tiananmen, rather than press the case that it was obvious to everyone that the Chinese Communist Party was a sadistic monster, instead, the George H.W. administration vouchsafed a mission of Brent Scowcroft at the end of June, early July of that year, following and alongside were visits by Henry Kissinger, then out of office, and engaged in developing investment opportunities in China. And Richard Nixon visited China. It's as if we were apologizing to China for being caught a brute. And is there a reflection today about that mistake, treating China as if it was a younger brother that we can tame?
Well, John, that's a critical moment in history that you identified, the June 1989 Tiananmen Square massacre, at a time where communism was being undermined in the Soviet bloc. Of course, that summer was certainly a pivotal. It was a historic one. The Communist Party of China cracked down on its own citizenry and crushed a nascent democratic movement. Then the Bush administration, as you identified, rushed to repair that relationship, right? Not wanting to jeopardize that. And that was, of course, when we look back on it, and the implications today are that, John, no, that is not seen really as one of the pivotal events. The desire to still stay engaged with the People's Republic of China was very powerful then, and it's even stronger now. Our leaders at that time, 1989, had a great understanding of communism and its evils. Today, that understanding of communism and its evils has waned as our educational system, our military, so many other elements do not teach, instruct the American people on the evils of communism and its consequences. Instead, China is seen as a nascent, as a capitalistic, simply purportedly communist, but not really communist, and a state with whom you can do business. Opposite is certainly true. It's as communist as ever. And the recognitions and the lessons of Tiananmen were not heeded by the United States. They were heeded. The events of that summer and before were heeded by Deng Xiaoping, who was determined, as a consequence of what happened in the Soviet bloc, not to repeat the Soviets' mistakes, but to identify and to take his own path of economic reform, of making the U.S. his partner. That is, there would be a relationship, de facto relationship, between the Communist Party of China and U.S. business interests and political interests, but never to execute any type of political reform, as Gorbachev had done haltingly, and which unleashed powerful pressures, nationalism and other pressures, which were responsible in part for the demise of the Soviet Union.
Having established the threat is imminent surrounding Taiwan, having established that the U.S. missed the opportunity following Tiananmen Square to press the case that the Chinese Communist Party was the problem, we turn to what is to be done. Embracing Communist China, America's Greatest Strategic Failure, James Fennell and Bradley Thayer are the authors. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bashman.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.